Be'ez Hashem, tonight we want to go into the inyan amongst many inyanim Be'ez Hashem Yisborach of Omein. If we get time, we're going to go to the halachos of what happens if a person made a bracha, the food fell down, many other different shailas of a person makes a bracha with shayna on certain different things, how long does it last for, on how many things does it go, all the inyanim Be'ez Hashem Yisborach. Oh, but as I stick in Akdama, Kvayodua, the Reb Chaim Volozhin was machbid only to say a brocha when there was somebody there to answer Amen. Reb Chaim Volozhin would never make a brocha. If there was somebody not there to answer Amen to his brocha, he would poshut not make the brocha. And it happened to him one time, late at night, he was learning, about to take a little drink, and he realized, hey, there's nobody around, can't make a brocha. And he waited, and he waited, and there was nobody, and he was getting thirstier and thirstier. And he kept on thinking, oh, I'm thirsty, but I cannot make a brocha without somebody there. All of a sudden, a knock on the door. One of his Talmidim was at the door, and said, Rabbi, I can't sleep. I probably need to explain to you, I need to understand the sugya and shas. Oh, he said, I'm so happy to speak to you in learning, and at the same time, I can also make a brocha, and you'll answer Amen. And the Talmud was there, he answered Amen. The next morning, the Rebbe goes to the Talmud, and he says, you know, I just want to thank you again for helping me out, enabling me to drink something so I was able to learn weiter the ganze Nacht. The Talmud looked at him and said, Rebbe, I never came to you last night. He said, what are you talking about? You knocked on the door. He wasn't even there. Unbelievable, my server is high. I want to give a share on these halachas and somewhere else. A fellow came up to me afterwards and he told me an unbelievable Maisa. Maisa Shahoya. He knew the person that it happened to. There was a lady that decided to take upon herself never to make a bracha without somebody listening in order to answer Amen. And she was very, very mad to make sure she always knocked on the neighbor's door. She knocked on the neighbor's door. If there was nobody around to make Amen, she would always make sure there was somebody there. One time in the morning, she was in the house by herself with a little baby, and she decided she wanted to eat something. And she realized the only person that's around is a little child. Little baby, is it able enough to say it's a type of Amen? So she said, you know, I'll make the bracha in front of my child, at least that will be some kind of Amen. So she goes around looking for the child, and she says, hey, he's not in his, you know, place where he plays. So I'll maybe go to the kitchen to get some food. He's not in the kitchen. She starts looking around, she got a little bit nervous. Wait, I heard this from the person that knew the person that happened to. Remember, she came to him and told me the Maisa. And the Maisa, she went around looking in the house, and she could not find this child anywhere, and she started getting really nervous. Until finally, she saw a figure out of the window. And she saw a child hanging out of the window. And Baruch Hashem, she saved him. And she said, there was schus. Which schus did she have? The schus of always saying a brocha and someone answering Amen. It's the most unbelievable schus. There's a Mordek and Medrash and Parashas Kisavoy. The Medrash says that we have to realize that every single minute we're on this earth, if we have the schutz to answer Amen to a bracha, we have absolutely no idea of the schar in Shomayim for a simple word, a simple answer of an Amen. Rabbi, I want to tell you the most unbelievable Maisa. This Maisa absolutely, really, really shook me. There was a famous doctor in America many years ago, very, very famous doctor. He was actually a frum doctor. He wasn't always from, but he became from as a Balshuva. Somebody once came to him and said, you know, I don't understand, why did you become a Balshuva? Why did you become from? You know, you're a very, very high-ranking professional, big doctor. What made you become from? He said, I want to tell you a very interesting story. He said, many years ago, about 30 years ago, I was doing some kind of a consultation for a patient that had a tremendous, tremendous illness, but terrible. And I realized that if I don't do something to this patient will die. And I came up with a solution, and I presented the solution to the family of the patient. And I said like this, the only option that I can see from my professional look is as follows. If we do a surgery to this patient, It will probably add 6 months to his life, but tremendously painful, and very, very expensive. That's the only option I can see. And he said it was such a terrible thing to put such a decision on a family member of the patient. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing to do. I had no other choice. And he watched as this Orthodox from Jew was thinking about such a decision until he said, you know what, I can't make such a decision. Who am I to make this decision? I'm going to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, who are you going to? Going to a rabbi? Did you? This is a shayla for Rav Moshe. He said, well, a rabbi is going to answer this shayla? He said, come with me. And he said, you know what, I'm going to come with you. He said, this is the most unbelievable thing. Here he gets an opportunity to watch a rabbi. Now, imagine a top professional idea of a rabbi. What is he? He's a rabbi. He sits and learns all day Jewish books. What does he know about operations? What he said he saw, he never forgot the rest of his life. They went in to Rav Moshe. Now, the person that went in was a person that didn't really know Rav Moshe too well. It was a Talmud from the yeshiva maybe years and years earlier. But he wasn't really, really familiar with him. And he came to Rav Moshe and told Rav Moshe the Shaila. And he said, Rav Moshe started crying. 20 minutes solid, Rav Moshe was crying. And the doctor was just baffled. He said, here you have this old rabbi that barely knows this fellow. And he's crying with tears, for someone he doesn't even know for 20 minutes. Because of why? Because of something that happened to him, that he became ill. And he said, and Rav Moshe said, you know something, I need a day to think about it, to tell you the answer. They came out the day later, and he said, listen, go ahead with the surgery, and he'll be zoicha to many more years and have a long life. And the doctor looked like, come on, you know, I'm the doctor, I'm the professional. And in my professional reasoning, there is no way he'll live more than 6 months. And his look on his face told that. And Rav Moshe obviously saw the look on his face. And Rav Moshe turned to him and said, let me tell you something. If he'll live in this world for 6 more months, during that time, he'll be able to make many brachas. And of those brachas, people answer amen. And every single amen that he makes will make another malach, and another malach, and another malach. And these malachim will protect him. And because of that, he'll be able to have a long life. The doctor was absolutely astonished, and that's exactly what happened. He lived, and he had an unbelievable long life. Rabbi Elia Lapian in Akdoma Taleb El Yov brings down an unbelievable Maisa Simcha, and he says like this. The Maisa goes like this. He was once on a train, and he had to say Asher Yatsa. So he got together all the non-from police officers and said, listen, let's all get together, say, listen to my Asher Yatsa, I want you all to answer Amen. So they all got together, he made the Asher Yatsa slowly, nicely, and they all said Amen. At that moment, the train suddenly stopped. The emergency sign went off. All the police started scattering to figure out what's going on. And after a few minutes, they came back and the train started going. And he said, Rebbe Elia Lapian, you should know what happened just now was an unbelievable thing. What happened was they found a bomb on the tracks of the train. And Baruch Hashem, the train managed to stop right before they found it, and it exploded. Everybody would have been dead. And they all looked at Elie Lopian and they wondered, how did this rabbi know that at this moment there needs to be an extra special schus? And what was that schus? That schus was the power, was the koyach, was the strength of saying an amen. Just there, Agav, one of the police officers said, just simply listening to Elie Lopian saying Asher Yatsa was enough to do tshuva and go back to doing tshuva. Rabbi Yisrael Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Brachos Daf and Gimel, Yosef, somebody that answers Amen more than the Mavorich. That when a person answers Amen to a Bracha, he gets more schar, more reward, than the person that made the Bracha himself. Two people, one make the Bracha, one say Amen. Who gets more reward, says the Gemara? Brachos and Gimel, it's the one that makes the Amen. So Be'ez Hashem Abaisal, after that little Hagdama, I wanted to go to some of the halachas of Amen, how it applies to us, halacha lemaisa, and then we'll move straight on track to more shailas of brachos. So number one, Abaisal, it's a double portion. When a person hears a bracha, he hears somebody in Klal Yisrael, a Yiddish person making a bracha, he is chayiv to answer Amen. How do we know that? Chazal tell us, the Pasuk says, Kishem Hashem Ekro,
Hovu Goyda Lelukeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, when I made a bracha and I mentioned Hashem's name, Hovu Goyda Lelukeinu, by answering Amen. And the Maaseh is very passed in the Halacha, Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Tes Vav, that when a person makes a bracha, you are chayiv, you must, obligated to answer Amen. And the Gemara, like we mentioned, says, God lo ino amen yasim and avoyach. Look at the Sfas Emes, as a beautiful pshat. We're not going to go into it right now. Number two, a person should mechanech a child to say Amen. A very interesting chazal we'll see in a few moments about a child. Or the Maaseh Zuk L'Ramah, that a person should mechanech a child even to say Amen. The Shailus does apply to all brachas. Every bracha that you hear, you have to answer Amen. Says the Shulchan Aruch, some group that's vops, thanks. A lot is like this. Every single Jewish person in Klal Yisrael that you hear a bracha from, you have to answer Amen. However, there are certain exceptions. There are certain times that when you hear a bracha, you don't have to answer, and not even don't have to, you should not answer Amen. Let's start number one. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Akuti, you have a guy making a bracha, above his kavanah of Avodah Zorah, and therefore you should not do it. Who are then if you have an apikoris, if somebody denies one letter of the Torah, he says, no, that's not a geyer. He's an apikoris, and it's also to answer Amen for any of his brachas. Number three of Isai, how about a child? Do you have to answer Amen to a bracha of a child? By say, the following Maisa is the most unbelievable Maisa. There's a Levush. The Levush with Bat Chayapa. The Levush writes in the Hagdomah to Levush the most unbelievable Maisa you ever saw in your life. Astonishing. What does he write? Listen to this Maisa, by say. Mamish unbelievable. He writes that he was asked by a certain Beis Din in a certain place to become the Rav of the place. Choshev Tam Chocham, Choshev Tzadik, they wanted him as the Rav. So he said, okay, I'll accept the position as Rav. The only thing is, I don't know fully how to work out Kiddush HaChodesh. To work out all the things of the sun and the moon and all the different things, how to work out the month, all these things. So I'm going to travel to the Svatim, who have a certain big Boki, right? The Maria Buav, right? I think he shows in Svat. And he was a big Baki, how to do these Kiddush HaChodesh, a tremendous Makubal. We're going to go, I'm going to go to visit him, I'm going to learn by him these halachas, and then I'm going to come to be Rav. Right? You can imagine what a tzaddik, he knew every single thing. He knew kol ha'tayu kuloi, except one thing he needed to check, and that's when he wanted to go. And he went over to the Rav, and he sat by the Rav to learn how to work out all the different things of the month. One day, a child, berach 5, maybe 6 years old, took an apple and made a bracha. Now, the Motcha Yafa, the Levush, was busy doing something else. He didn't answer Amen to the bracha. And the Maria Buav, his rabbi, got tremendously upset. And he told him, you are punished, you have to do exile, get out. He was absolutely shocked. The rabbi says so. We do what the rabbi says. He went out for 30 days, which is the minimum period that when your rabbi banishes you. And he comes back and he begs mechila from the rabbi, rabbi, moichel me. The rabbi says, I'm not moichel you, get out. He said, but what did I do wrong? I'm not being moichel by the rebbe, asking the kach, what aveira, what was it? Says the Maria Buav to the Levush like this, in Shamayim you achayiv misa. I saw that in Shamayim you did not answer Amen to a child's bracha. They punished you with misa. So I figured the only way to get you out of the din misa was in order to put you in exile, and if you promise to publicize the godless of Amen, then you'll have a tikkun for your avera. Rabbi Yisai, Ad kiti kach is the chiv of Amen. Let's get back to our sugya. What about a child? Says the Gemara in Brachos, that when you hear a child making a bracha, when you hear anyone making a bracha, you have to answer Amen, except Tinoikel Shal Beis Rabon. Except the child. And as I pass in Halach and Shulchan Aruch and Tibet, that when you hear a child making a bracha, you should not answer Amen. Right? Very simple. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel. He says, hold it a minute. When do we say that we don't make an Amen on a child's bracha? That's when he's making the bracha in front of his rebbe, when he's being taught the brachas by his rebbe. But when a child takes a piece of food or a drink and makes the bracha in order to pater himself, in order to make the bracha, then avada and avada, that's for chinuch, and avada you can. And as I pass in the halacha of the Mishnah Berurah, it's ikkar in design that if the child is under the age of chinuch, then you should not be answer. If he's over, well, we're going to get to the ages in a minute. If, again, Rabbi Yisrael, if he's over the age of chinuch, then you do answer amen. If he's under the age of chinuch, then you do not answer his amen. Now, sorry? The age of chinuch means he has to understand. No, much younger. Much younger. 4, 5, defend. That's right. So again, Rabbi Yisrael. You many times people answering amen, parents answer amen for their kids. What's the pshat? Very simple. Even if they're under chinuch, so many places can say that we answer amen to all the brachas about children. What's the reason? Because the very fact that the child is making the amen, that means the bar chinuch. That means he's of the age, and therefore you can answer amen. Right? Sorry. And anytime you can make the, anytime the child makes the bracha, so then it means that he's of the age of chinuch, and therefore I can answer. And that's the Meister of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and Shai and Shuvah Samus Chaim, Dain Fisher, of Scheinberg Zatzal. All the Poskim said that if a child's making a bracha, you can make an amen because he's a chinuch. Yes. However, the stipler said you can answer amen to a child even if he's under chinuch. What's the reason? Because that's chinuch. You want to teach the child to answer amen. So how do you teach the child to say amen? By you saying amen. Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to say, if you have a child under the age of chinuch, and he's making a bracha, you know what he's saying? Amen. You leave out the nun. Now he won't chap, so he thinks you answered amen. You didn't answer amen because it's under chinuch, therefore you're okay. Right? Sanzan Rav used to say that Avadan is a tremendous inyan for a person to answer Amen and all children's brachas. So again, to recap, Rabbi Yisai, Lalocha Lemaisa, the child is under chinuch, Maisa we do not make it Amen. Many people do make it Amen for different reasons, that he is about chinuch, or for other reasons that we spoke about before. Let me continue weiter. Shem Hashem. When you teach a child the bracha, you're allowed to actually say Shem Hashem together with him, because you're doing it for chinuch reasons. So Avada, that's going to be Motah, Zoy Pasen, and Pimei Godim, La'alocha Le'maisan, the Mishabu over here, in Reish Tazayim. Now, how about saying Hashem's name when you learn? Often you come to a piece of Gemara, or you come to a piece of a Medrash, whatever it may be, and you find Hashem's name. Are you allowed to say Hashem's name? Yes, absolutely, and faket. You should be dafka say Hashem's name, and not anything else, because to say Hashem, or say Elokeinu, is not covered Shemayim. As I passed the Maisa, the Ha'atzvi, the Ma'arsham, and the Haskoyah, and the Shlach HaKadosh also. However, the minhag seems to be that when people get to a chazal or a piece of Torah that has Hashem's name, they don't say Hashem's name. They say Hashem, or they say Elokeinu, or something like that. So a lot of Poskim, a lot of Gedolim Taki used to go with this Mahalach, right? Or Chasholchan seems to write this way. The Stipend, the Chaz Rabbeinu, the Chazan Ish, that the Maisa, the person should not say Hashem's name, he should actually say in the Kodesh of Hashem. Well, before we move on to different halachas of other brachas I want to get to, Be'ez Hashem, tonight, I just want to finish off with a couple of different things. There's a Modiku Ramah. The Ramah says, does a child have Olam Haba? Does a child have Olam Haba? As I think the Ramah. And the Ramah brings a Makor. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf. Brings over there of Meir. And the Meir said, that brings a Chazal also, that the gates are open for anybody that says it Amen. Anybody that wants a Skula, to have the gates of Shemayim open for him, this is a Skula, say Chazal. If you say Amen, that's a wonderful scholar. Says the Ramah, I'll please that. We try to mechanic every child to make it Amen on every single bracha. Why? Because we want him to have Olam Haba. So if you can imagine, if this gives a child of a young age who hasn't done anything, but he said it Amen, a modic Olam Haba, can you imagine what it does for us when every single day we're making Amens and Amens and Amens, or we're making the bracha loud? State the Baisan Chazal that if you make the bracha loud, it's ma'ura the kavana, and you're letting other people say an amen. It's the most unbelievable thing that you're doing. Obviously, people should do that. There's a Shlach Kodesh that brings down the Zoya that says, well, basically, you should try to concentrate every time you make a bracha, and for sure, every single time you make the amen, the tremendous kedusha, the shefa, the bracha that comes down. It's like mother's a fountain. The fountain of shefa and bracha that come down. How many people come complaining with certain problems that they have? They don't realize there are so many things that you can do to help yourself. Chazal are telling us when a person makes an amen, or he makes a bracha loud enough so other people can say amen, it's the most tremendous thing that he's doing. That he's doing, the schar, the reward, the unbelievable shef of the bracha that he brings down to this world is unbelievable. There's a Gemara in Bracha Staf Nun Bav that says, sorry, Nun Gimel, that brings down that when you say
in our main, it's like a wall. It's supposed to be like a wall. Says the Marisha, when you have soldiers in a fight, can you imagine a wall, and you've got mamish lines and lines of soldiers. The front row soldiers are the ones that take their swords, that take their knives, they take their battle equipment, and they fight with everything that they've got. They're the ones with that, they fall down there, but they're the ones, the blood's all over the place. Who conquers the city? Not them. Who conquers the city are the people behind them that go running into the city and conquer the city after they fought. Says the Marisha, that's trying the Gemara. The Gemara says that a main is like conquering, it's like a wall. What's the pshat? Because the one that makes the bracha, you know what happens? His bracha is hanging until somebody says Amen and flies all the way up straight to Kisei HaKavod, straight to Shamayim. So maybe that person should realize, so therefore a person should realize, Rabbi, the most tremendous thing that we've learned, the Ezer Hashem, we've learned tonight, and all the inyonim of making Amen. Yeah. Avadim. That's why people might be dafka make people Amen. It's not also. Again, it's not also. Straight away. Straight away.
And if you don't, like
then it doesn't work. Doesn't work. It has to be straight away, like everything else.
You
don't have to be mad, but you're allowed to say gebocha. You're allowed to say bracha. You're still allowed to say bracha. No, it's not the halacha. It's plain chat in the Gemara that way. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Exactly. Videos. So, both sides. Clear. Let's go back to it. Next sugya. Brand new sugya now. Brand new sugya. What happens? Burn again. You take the food. You make the bracha, and it drops on the floor and gets dirty. So you can't eat it because it's dirty all over the floor. So I'll go and get another one. Do I have to make a bracha on the other one? Rabbi said, there's a modiki Yerushalmi. There's a modiki Yerushalmi in brachas. Oh, what are Yerushalmi, Rabbi said? Mamash a modiki Yerushalmi. That says if you make a bracha on something and it fell down and you have to take a brand new one, the Gemara's, you know, the Yerushalmi, you make a bracha on the next one. Yeah, above you make a bracha on the next one. And Reb Chiya brings down, you have to say Baruch Shem on the bracha that you said before. Why? Because the bracha that you said before was going on this piece. This piece is now on the floor with mud all over it, and therefore the new one needs a brand new bracha. Yeah.
Well,
we're going to get all the shailas. About what they say. I'm going to get all the shailas. This is like Dom of the Halacha. Yeah. No. He said the whole bracha, you'd say Baruch Shem. Now, the halacha of the Maisa, is they pass in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Vav. The halacha is, and then again, you take something in your hand, you take something in your hand, take a food in your hand, and you make the bracha, and then it drops. So the halacha passed in Zabada. What you have to do is, when you take another one, you make Baruch Shem on the first bracha that you originally made, because Baruch Shem Kavoyim Akhusi Loyal and Boyd gives a kiyum to the bracha that had nothing to be chalom, and you make a brand new bracha on the new food that you take. Right? As they pass the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Semen Reish Vav. However, comes along the Ramah. Comes along, I'm sorry, the Be'alocha. Zug the Be'alocha, Be'etzibitz Ramah also. The Ramah and the Be'alocha, Be'etzibitz Amachikas Rishonim also. Says the Be'alocha, it comes out like this. Number one, if you had das, if you had intention to eat more things of the same, you don't make a new bracha. Number two, even if you didn't have das, but it was befonav on the shulchan, it was in front of you on the table, then you also don't have to make a new bracha. So it comes out Rabbeisa like this. How we paskin halacha according to the Ramah and Mishnah Berurah is like this. When you take something in your hand and it fell down and you want to take a brand new one, so the only time you're going to have to make a brand new bracha on that piece is if A, it was not in front of you, you had to go down to the next room to the fridge to go get it, and number two, you didn't have that to eat more. Now I have to tell you, there is a Derech HaChaim, Sivus, the Grads, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Kavachayim, they say you need both of them, both Befonav and both Das. I'm going to say we pass in according to the Mishnah Berurah that you need one or the other. So let's see some examples. Let's see some examples. You take a candy in your hand, right? You make a bracha on it, and it fell. It falls into the mud. It falls down on the floor. You're not going to eat it anymore. Now you didn't have Das to eat another one because I'm just going to eat one. Where's another one? I've got another one in my room. So I go quickly upstairs to get another one for my room, Morty. And we'll have to make a new bracha. Yeah, I have to make a bracha. Why? It wasn't before them, and I didn't have das to eat it. But if I've got, let's say, for example, a pack of candies in my hand, and this one I take, I made a bracha and it fell, and the next one I take was right in front of me, and I had intention to eat it, and therefore I don't have to make a new bracha. And that's Josh's kasha. Josh had a kasha 1 second. If somebody has a packet of crisps in his hand, or a packet of biscuits, and he makes a bracha on one of them, and it falls down, so he dips his hand into the packet to take another one, Then he would not have to make a new bracha. Why not? Because he had that, and it's the bottom. Who had din? You take a glass, you take a spoon of soup, and it falls down after the bracha. You take another a spoon of soup, and that would be beseder. The only exception would be Rabbi Sai. I was zeichet to sit with that going that God will be all my shita, and he told me, Mommy, he was there. Shas Meister, Modika Meister. Somebody came in. Chanukah time. They had made a bracha on their menorah. All the oil was set up. The menorah was set up. It was gavaldic. And as they finished the bracha, they give it a knock. The whole thing came flying to the floor. All the oil all over the floor. They had to refill the oil. So there was a tremendous shaila whether or not you needed to make a new bracha. I'm not going into it right now. It could be there's a big mock and yes to make a new bracha. But again, I'm not going into that Indian. Yes.
How long does it have?
It has to be before. It doesn't have to be any seconds. Yeah. Again, like I said, you say it like this. If you have it in front of you and you intend to eat the whole bowl, you pick one up, make a bracha, and it fell, or it's gone, or you realize it's moldy, whatever it may be, because I've got others in front of me and I'm going to eat them, then it's okay. But if I've got no more in front of me, I'm only intending to eat one nut, and the rest are in my room, and I'm not intending to eat them, then I'm going to have to make a brand new bracha. Is that clear, everybody say? Last halacha, then we finish for today. Everybody say, very nageya. Very, very, very nageya halacha. Send the Gemara in brachas at nun and beis. Nun omen beis in brachas. Mudika halacha. How about, my boy says, not negate to anybody over here. Mabish nobody. What happens if a person eats without making a bracha? Chas v'shalom, nobody here knows what I'm talking about, but there are some people that by mistake, I'm talking about by mistake. You're saying good? Saying mamish gavaldic, not good. Let's go like this. What's the halacha of a person put food or liquid into his mouth and then he realizes, oh my gosh, I didn't make a bracha?
Oh,
what do you do in such a situation? Okay. Says the Gemara, bracha daf nun. Listen to this Gemara, unbelievable. One Gemara says, swallow it. Another Gemara says, spit it out. Another Gemara says, put it to the side of your mouth. Right? Three Rei Machlokes in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Loikasha. It depends what you've got in your mouth. It depends if you've got a liquid. Right? It depends if you've got something disgusting. It depends if you've not got something disgusting. Let's speak out like this. Rabbeinu Chananel learns as follows. Mamash Amudi Kashita. Says Rabbeinu Chananel. That by a liquid you have to swallow it and you don't make a bracha. That means according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you put a sip of liquid in your mouth. You didn't make a bracha, swallow it, don't make a bracha. Was it Pastor Ben Chananu? That could be something else, we'll see in a minute.
Next one,
if I did have to, that's poshut. Shitas HaRosh. Remember what I say? Shitas HaRosh is you swallow it and then you make the bracha afterwards. Shitas HaRosh is it works from a freya that you eat the thing, swallow it because it's in your mouth already, and you make the bracha afterwards, and therefore it's chal lema freya. Shitas HaRosh, Baal was the halacha lemaaseh. The Rosh, one of the Rishonim. The Ravid, Rabbi Yisrael, says the Ravid, if you have more, spit it out and take more. That's Shitas HaRavid. What's halacha lemaaseh? Let's go straight to halacha lemaaseh. Spit it out and eat another one. Yeah. Well, we're going to see. Let's see. Rabbi Yisrael. 5 more minutes. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kufayim Beisi Beis. Says the Shulchan Aruch, very interesting halacha. If you put liquid, let's start with liquid. We'll start with what happens if a person puts the liquid in his mouth and realizes, oh my, he did make a bracha. What does he do in such a situation? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you put liquid in your mouth and you realize, oh my, you forgot to make a bracha. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Shitas HaShulchan Aruch is Rabbeinu Chananel. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? 5 more minutes. Rabbeinu Chananel says, swallow it. Right? As they state, in the Shulchan Aruch, comes along the Ramah, and says, no, make a bracha after you swallowed it. Fechein, Mira, Ika. Shitas HaRosh. So again, Shulchan Aruch holds. Swallow it. Ramah holds, make the bracha afterwards. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah brings most Achrayim and Achrayim on the Ramah, and they held no. Swallow it without a bracha. Rabbi says, let's make a sikkim l'alocha l'maisa. Right? Moshe, straight alocha l'maisa. Let's go. Number one. If it's a tiny bit in your mouth, in other words, you swallowed a tiny bit of liquid, right? A little bit of whiskey, whatever it was. You swallow it, if you can move it to your side and make the bracha, then avada, that's what you should do. You move it to your side, it's a pasan halacha in the Mishnah Berurah, that's the advice of what you should do. Apila lebushi sod, you put it to your side and make the bracha. How about if it's more than a little bit, you took a whole chunk of orange juice, apple juice, whatever, in your mouth, and forgot to make a bracha, right? Very rare occurrence. So the Mishnah halacha is like this. Mishnah Berurah says, it's better to spit it out rather than being bracha. We're going to see in a minute what they say. There's a Mosaic Gemara that if a person is bracha, skilu goyzel min the Rebbeinu Shalolam. Therefore, if a person took the Mishnah Berurah, we'll do questions in a minute because we've got so much to do. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if by mistake chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila rahman al-islam, somebody puts a liquid into his mouth without making a bracha, spit it out. As I pass in the halacha in Mishnah Berurah, and the second time about it, you make a bracha. Sorry? In that case, if you can't spit it out. Now, how about you cannot spit it out? You're sitting at the table with mummy and daddy at the table, you're going to start spitting it out. Chas v'shalom. In that case, but myself, we can be makel and we can swallow it and make a broch on the next sip that you have afterwards, we use the shittas arrive it. Now, that's all if you remembered while the liquid is still in your mouth. That means before you swallowed it. It means it's in your mouth. Now you have a shayla what to do. Should I spit it out? About you should spit it out. If you can't, then you can swallow it. But what if you only remember after you swallowed the liquid and you forgot to make a brocha? There's an Indian to eat something else. You should bedafka take another sip or another piece of chocolate, whatever it is, and make a shahakol on that and have kavona for that which you ate before. That's what I say. A liquid. How about a solid? How about a food? Right? Rahman islam. Shem Yerachim! Somebody did the most unbelievable thing and they put food into their mouth without making a bracha. What is that? Terrible. Terrible. What do we do in such a situation? Well, that would be for the next year. So the halacha like this. It depends. If it's something that's meals, if it's something that's disgusting, the hainu. If you would spit it out, it's like a piece of bread and it's all mushy and all soggy and disgusting, then avada. Sorry, let's start again, Rabbi Say. You put food into your mouth and it's not something disgusting. That is a candy. It's a candy. So the halacha is a vada going to take out your mouth in order to make the bracha. Why do you have to take out the mouth? Why can't you just put it to the side? Because the pasuk says, your mouth is meant to be empty when you make a bracha. And therefore, what should you do? You should remove that thing from your mouth, make the bracha, and put it back in. Now that's only if it's something that's not disgusting. Meaning, it's a candy. Or something that if you take it out would not be disgusting. But if it's something that's meal, if it's something that if you would take it out, it would be it would be a piece of soggy bread. In that situation, what should you do? You should move the food to one side of your mouth and then make the bracha in that situation. My earth, I want to finish with two nekudas. Number one, the only you should know, there's a Gemara. Listen to this Gemara in Brochus. The Gemara in Brochus, Daf Lamed Hem and Beis, tells us as follows. And I quote, that if a person eats without making a bracha, he's moyo behektish. He's been nana ma'oyna ma'zebele bracha. He's goizel from the Rebbeinu Shalom. He was stealing from Hashem. You push it stealing from the Rebbeinu Shalom. You're stealing from Knesset Yisrael. You're a chovet and Rabban ben Nevat. And you're destroying Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim. You're being nezek to the guf. You're being nezek to the Shoma. You're stopping the Shefa and the bracha from coming out. And the mail, it's a tremendous thing for a person to be makpit, to make that bracha number one. And when he does make the bracha, to try and make it loud enough for someone to say an amen and someone to answer, to get that most unbelievable Shefa of the Kedusha down from Shemaim. I want to finish with one Maisa. Not really a Maisa, but it's a Maisa. It's brought by a main Yishmei Rabba, but I think we can apply it also. There's a Mosaic and Moshe brought down the Svarim. The Svarim said like this, can you imagine a certain town, and they told everybody that in a few weeks' time, the king is going to be arriving for a tremendous parade. Tremendous parade. And you can imagine the people of the town got ready, and they started, wow, the king's coming, we started painting, and they started cleaning the floors, and they started getting all the ties ready, and the horses, and the chariots, and the trumpets, and the music, and the parade. It was unbelievable. And for weeks and weeks, the planning of this parade, at the time the big king comes to get his approval of the village, is going to be unbelievable. And finally it comes, and everybody's in their finest Shabbos clothes, and everybody's waiting in anticipation, and the kids are waiting, and the parents are waiting, and the grandparents are waiting. Finally they can see, in the distance, the king's big horses, and they can hear the trumpets, and they're all excited, and everyone's unbelievable, the king is coming, the king is coming. And all of a sudden he gets closer, and everybody's shouting, long live the king, long live the king, long live the king. It's an unbelievable celebration, long live the king. King, long live the king. All of a sudden, when the king's right there, he pops his head out of his big chariot with his beautiful crown standing on. Everybody's in the absolute climax of the parade. Everybody, long live the king, and he's smiling. The king is getting tremendous honor. And all of a sudden, a couple of pebbles come flying to the king's head. And he gets a shock, and everybody's shocked. And all of a sudden, some more pebbles come and knocks his crown up. And you can imagine the entire crowd as one person turn around to see who can it possibly be? Who could have possibly been the culprit for such a terrible, terrible act? And they found a couple of teenagers who were standing on one of the buildings throwing stones. And you can imagine chaos erupted, and all the soldiers started running, and everybody started running, and eventually they caught them. Treason against the king, Chayiv Misa, go to court tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning was the court. They had the big court. Everybody was there. The king was there. The soldiers were there. They took up these two teenagers and they said, there's nothing to say. There's no court case. Treason against the king is something that gets your head chopped off. There's nothing more to talk about. The headmaster got up from these boys, who was the headmaster of the local school, and he said, I want to tell you something. I think they're potter. I think they're exempt. Everybody looked like, what are you going to say to exempt them? He said, very simple. If anybody would have looked a few minutes before that Misa happened, before the pebbles started coming down, and would have seen the enthusiasm of these boys, and they said, long live the king, long live the king, like everybody else. And afterwards they got a little bit immature. They didn't know how to express themselves. They didn't know how to contain their excitement. And they got carried away. But if you would have seen them, he said, shouting with such a simcha, long live the king, you would not have a question that have treason against the king. And the court accepted it, and they got let off. The nimshon is a double poshut, Rabbi Yisai. It's a double poshut. That the Rabbeinu Shalom is about the king. And sometimes, we're a little bit immature. And we throw stones at the Rabbeinu Shalom with different averas. And in Shemayim, they say you throw stones at the Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no hope for you. Comes along a Malach and says, hold on a minute. If you would have seen how this fellow made a bracha, said an amen, exalted the Rabbeinu Shalom's name, was masking to be covered Shemayim, there's no question in the world you would say that they was just a little immature act. It was nothing. And that, Rabbi Yisai, is the biggest savior that we can have. The biggest unbelievable thing, if a person wants a schus, he wants a bracha, he wants to have a tzlacha, a shefa from Shemayim, as we've learned the last couple of shiurim, a bracha and an amen is so important that if a person can do it, Be'ez HaShem, the Rabbi Shalom will give him a sachsiyat of Ishmael, and will be zoicha to have all the brachas from Shemayim.